Welcome to the Work Reset Revolution. And today I'm delighted to have join us Thomas Hubel, who is a global facilitator of collective trauma integration processes. He's a renowned teacher, author, and spiritual leader. So it's wonderful to have you here with us today, Thomas.
Well, thank you for having me, Cara.
Real pleasure. So I always would like to kind of kickstart with the first question to ask you, what your thoughts are and what do you think the biggest challenges organizations are facing today?
Yeah, first of all, as we all see and know, is I think we are facing a strong change process that our entire world is going through. So we see more fragmentation, we see more polarization, we see unexpected changes, we see more also trauma content that comes up in many places, more symptoms, and we see global conflicts, we have climate change, we have many like migration. And so I think one of the big challenges is like a big change process that we are in. The data speed is increasing all the time, so everything becomes faster and we need to process more data in a short time. And another connected challenge that comes with it is all the places where we are related. When we say relating, is actually active data flow. It's like the internet connection that connects the two of us right now. When the internet connection is well established, so our conversation comes through fluidly. But if our relationships are hurt, you know, compromised, limited, so the friction that arises in organizations where relating is compromised has a big effect on the collective intelligence of an organism, like an organization. And so the two together kind of create like either an explosive mixture or a well-related work environment. And a grounded and regulated work environment can actually be an amazing advantage in developing resilience, in developing all kinds of new ways of innovation that can actually bring solutions within this more volatile world. But I would say these are two factors. And of course, if we had more time, we could identify many more, but two factors I would love to focus our conversation on.
And so having a look at that, what do you think the solutions are around that then? And also, how do we really look at, you know, solving systemic trauma in organizations? Because there's that to one side. And obviously, we would love to see organizations become this place of, you know, innovation, creativity and sustained productivity and happiness and, you know, many more things. But What sort of needs to happen first, in your opinion, and how do we look at solving this systemic trauma?
Yeah, first of all, to see that once we understand that traumatic stress and trauma is not only that I don't know, that if I was a soldier, if somebody had a car accident, or if there was massive abuse, so there are this, like, say, big T traumas that some of us carry, but that we understand that the world that we have been born into in most of the places around the world was already pre-traumatized. And so when we look into family systems, when we look into our intergenerational systems where we come from, or if we look into the cultures. Many cultures had wars, had power over hierarchies, dictatorships, like all kinds of traumatic impacts, let alone religious wars or conflicts or racism and all kinds of massive colonialism, massive impacts on the fabric of the society. So we were born into that kind of wound or scar, and we grew up in it. So because when we think of trauma, we often think of an impact that an individual experienced. Mm. But there is a systemic dimension that we are all part of and that lives in most of our bodies, nervous systems, emotions, even thinking, language, the way we show up through our biases in intercultural spaces. These are very important topics. And so the first step is, recognizing that there is a systemic dimension, just the awareness of it. Oh, yeah, right. The social fabric has trauma built in, and it has been normalized because of that.
That's so interesting, isn't it?
Right. And because it has been normalized, it kind of, it's invisible to us. Only when we actively go to look and say, what does this actually mean? How does it show up? And then we see that when we look at society, that there are structures in our society that are innovative, they're emergent, they're creative, they're relational, they are warm, they're connected. So these are processes that keep updating themselves. So they are emergent. And then there are non-emergent processes. These are all the processes that we deal with cyclically again and again and again. We have similar conversations, similar conflicts, similar frictions, similar issues. And these processes are non-emergent. They are disrelated. They don't have a future. They are cycling around themselves and keep reproducing themselves. And so that's actually where a non-sustainable kind of work culture happens. That's where, when people say, oh, my work is so stressful, that's where the burnout happens. That's where demotivation is happening. That set of questions is actually what most of the organizations that I see are dealing with.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the workload, it's that we have multiple emotional frictions, that we feel shame, that we are afraid, that we are, these kind of emotional moments are actually the ones where we say, oh, it's depleting, it was a difficult meeting, it was, you know, it was hard. We are saying these things, but I think what we are saying is that we experience cyclic patterns. And I think if we get better at having the relational fabric to identify those, and we put the energy into resolving some of it, then our work cultures will improve, our performance is improving, our well-being will improve. I think there are many factors that are dependent on it that organizations struggle with.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So first is the sort of knowledge that there is this, you know, larger systemic trauma. And then the next step, so first the acknowledgement, then the next step in order to solve that is how do organizations look at solving that as a first step?
Yes, that's that. And then how to build like the competence, we call it becoming trauma-informed, becoming trauma-sensitive, becoming trauma-integrative, and developing different competence levels of integrating those non-emergent processes and turning those into emergent processes. And we know how to do it, but for this, we need to be able to identify that these are not just interpersonal patterns, but they are actually something is playing out here. And once we are dealing with stuff again and again and again, we have to look at it. And it's not just something we want to get rid of. Problems are not here to be gotten rid of, but problems are actually signposts to those non-emergent processes. They actually need to be more included than excluded. And if we have a culture that has a, it's like a teacher, I meet the teacher in the problem, not something that I rather like not to have. And so when we can integrate those, we grow. So there is always a growth effect in it. And that learning is actually very important and vital for every organization, because every organization will meet these friction points in order for the organization to grow to a new level. And if we have a positive attention towards those challenges, then we can say, oh, wow, when there's a challenge, there's a growth moment for us. Let's engage instead of disengage, you know?
Yeah.
Let's engage.
Beautiful. So turning the challenges into the growth opportunities and possibilities, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So first of all, sort of identifying, accepting then all the understanding all the different layers of trauma, and then actually turning them into the positive emergent factors, which we, you know, which is what we all need. That's really helpful. Thank you. I hope I've summarized that okay. Have I missed anything?
No, that's a beautiful summary. And that learning process, every time we include what was excluded before, And every trauma and systemic trauma, always something has been excluded. So the integration is actually post-traumatic learning. And the integration process makes the whole organization more mature, makes it more innovative, makes it more grounded. And these are, I think, very, very important aspects for our collective growth as an organization.
Absolutely. So that brings me to the final question, actually. And I'd love to hear what a work reset revolution looks like to you.
Yeah, it's a little bit what we were saying now, because I deeply believe, and I see it also often in organizations I work with, is that the disrelated parts are the parts that cause, that have a high toll, like an energy toll. Like we feel more depleted, it's harder, it's demotivating, as we said. The parts where we are well related, and it starts with kind of a term that being used very often, psychological safety. But what is psychological safety? Psychological safety is based on I feel you and I feel how you are aware of me. In that very seemingly very simple basic building block of relating, which is a whole body nervous system process. So I feel you through my body emotionally, I'm with you mentally, and I'm listening to you, you're listening to me, and we create a mutual space. But often that mutual space, especially when we get more stressed or when we have challenges, gets fragmented. Mm-hmm. And I think one level of revolution, even if it sounds very simple, is the revolution of relatedness. There is a fundamental change when we really stay in that felt connection, because we will see that when there are frictions, when there are disagreements, when there are tensions in the room, often we retract, we pull away from each other instead of staying with each other and staying with the discomfort of the tension that is in the room, but staying present to it. And I think there is a revolution of relatedness, because more often than not, relationships are being fragmented. So that's one thing. And the other thing is that we stop pathologizing the parts of us where we think, that's a weak part of me. Here, I need to be different. And then we criticize ourselves. And we also do the same with other people then. And that a depathologizing reframing of the human nature, I think, is a very, very important part to create more self-awareness, to create more mutual awareness of each other, and to generate more awareness and engagement in organizations. And the third part I would say is that what we said before, because oftentimes you say, oh, without my challenges, my life would be so much better. And I would say, no, with our challenges, we have the opportunity to see aspects about ourselves, about each other, and about our organizations that communicate very important information. The fact that it's not comfortable doesn't mean it's not important. And if I want to exclude or avoid or postpone dealing with my challenges, I just make it worse because I keep myself stuck.
Yeah.
And or I keep the organization stuck. If I have a leadership position and if I'm avoiding to deal with some challenges, I'm actually not listening to very important unconscious information that the system tries to communicate. If I develop more capacity to listen and see what's actually needed here, how does that part need me more than less? I think that's a very mature way of going through challenging times. And we see that we are being asked to do that collectively and globally right now.
Yeah, for sure.
And to develop that capacity is the capacity to be fit for a strongly changing world.
That is fantastic. And absolutely, I mean, it's very much understanding what is needed here. So concluding on that, I love the revolution of relatedness that you mentioned, you know, the reframing of our human nature and this whole, you know, what is needed. So the challenges being seen as really important information to take this step back and going, what is really, really needed here? What is the need of that other person? What is the need of the team? What is the need of the organization or organizations? So this has been really fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today, Thomas. And for anybody that's listening, more on Thomas and his book and his work will be listed at the bottom of this podcast. So thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Cara.
Been a real pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Work Reset Revolution. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. As a next step, share this episode with anyone that you think may benefit. Follow us on LinkedIn at Softer Success for more inspiration to change the way we work, and contact us at info@softersuccess.com to find out more about our burnout assessment tool. If you have any feedback on how to improve, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Work Reset Revolution.